everybody. Welcome back to the Great and Terrible AHS. We're here to talk about, what's the, Red Dawn. Why didn't I remember that? Oh, right, because it has nothing to do with the episode. I'm joined, as always, by Ms. Shadow Lovely and Slow Beef. Hey, what's good?
Hey.
Hello.
What's going on?
So, this is part two of an episode. Last time we ended on... Margaret's baffling plan to decide to start killing people. I guess not to start killing people, but, you know, to continue after a long break where all of these people are like, yeah, Margaret, I'm a witness who saw that you didn't do a murder and that someone else did it, and I will have your back in court. And she goes, yeah, I'm just going to kill you anyway. But why? I'm just going to kill you anyway. I think it's like a fun time. Margaret has one move is what it turns. Well, I guess two moves. And that's stab herself or cut her own ear off and lie about it. Uh-huh. Or just like inexplicably kill someone because she gets bored.
Right.
Yeah. I have to imagine she didn't like go in. She's like maybe one of the only people who's at the camp right now who like weirdly did not plan on killing anybody. Because like if you like look at it from like a wider perspective, she didn't like plan on killing anyone. It's just a coincidence that like. People started killing around her, and because she was just going to reopen the camp. Like, she wasn't planning on, like, killing the counselors or anything. She was just going to do the camp again.
When in Rome,
yeah.
Right?
Margaret's lie wasn't that she was, like, going to secretly kill all the kids. It was that she was pretending it was to, you know, like, close a loop and make her feel like she had regained some stuff in her life, whereas it was, like, actually an act of atonement. That was the lie. Not that she was, like... I'm going to blow up that school bus.
Yeah. She's actually fairly adamant that, like, she wants the camp to be successful. So for her to randomly be like, well, guess I'll start killing people because there's already two serial killers here. Might as well make it three. It's very strange that, like, because that's the thing is, like, the show would like you to believe, like, the motivation is like, well... She's crazy. And, like, that's fine, but, like, she was crazy when she wanted to run the camp anyway. So, like, you can't just be like, she's crazy and that covers everything. Like, she's not that kind of crazy. She's a different kind of crazy. She's the kind of crazy that, like, is, like, really religious and weird and framed a guy, like, 20 years ago or 10 years ago or whatever. She's not like, I love killing and I hope I get to do it again soon. Like, that's really not been her deal, like, at all, like, even a little bit.
Right.
The first time she killed people, it wasn't because she liked it. It was because she was, like, mad that they were bullying her, quote unquote, by just pointing out how weird she's being. And she just, like, didn't like it. So she's like, guess I'll kill them because they're being mean to me. So guess I'll kill them about it.
It's one of the rare instances where the bullies were completely right, too, because she was being weird, like, you know, with the janitor and stuff and, you know, like... Yeah, but I guess murder is, you know, what you do. So that's
if I had
go-to.
To guess, she was probably being weird in other ways, too. We just only saw that part in the flashback. She was probably being weird otherwise. Also, again, I'm now realizing, like, retroactively, that whole, like, sequence we saw, like, at the camp and whatnot, they did the thing that I hate, which is, like, we're definitely watching this flashback from the POV of the person, like, that started it, which it starts with Margaret, like, looking at, the carved bear or whatever. And then it, like, it's like, oh, this is obviously her flashback. She's recollecting things. But then things happen in that flashback that she didn't see. So she wouldn't have a memory of it because she wasn't there. She's not in the room for it. I hate that. I hate when this show does it more than any other show I've ever seen, where it's like, we're doing a flashback for this character. Here's a shot from a room that that person wasn't in and wasn't privy to the conversation. They magically know it now.
Oh, yeah. Like, Liz, like, flashbacks in this show are usually a coin flip between either that or it just... totally was a lie to begin with and it never happened. And there's no way you would be able to tell based on the framing, the characters involved, or anything. For example, the literal first scene of this season where none of that actually happened.
Yeah.
Where it's all fake. And the only perspective that it could have been from was Margaret's, but it's not what Margaret saw. To which I say, whose flashback is this? If Margaret is the only person who holds the perspective the whole time and it's not what Margaret saw, why do you open your series with an artificial flashback of what someone told as a lie? Like, that's not a functional establishing shot. You feel me? Like, this is an unreliable narrator. This is just, like, you're saying shit.
This unreliable show.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
That's the thing, is this show does that all the time. Like, I can't even, like, start listing them the times they've done it, because they've done it so many times where they will show something that's, like, clearly, well, not clearly, but at the time, like, is information, and then later in the show be like, we made it up, like, gotcha, like, that wasn't real. And not like in a Saw way where, like, at the end Jigsaw's like, hello detective, and then, like, reveals that, like, all the stuff you've actually seen has been, like, out of order, and, like, you're actually an hour late, everyone's already dead, and you're like, oh shit, like, I didn't even consider that we might be seeing these things out of order or something like that. Yeah. It's just, we lied to you, idiot. How dare you believe us, dumbass. Which isn't a twist. You're the one telling the story. So if you lie, we're not dumb for believing you. It's just, you made your show bad, and you told the story wrong.
Because, like, a good twist, too, there's usually, like, some clue to it as, like, hey, that shouldn't fit, or that shouldn't, this is just, like, nah. You know, like, you can't do that, doesn't work. Like,
yeah, because the opening sequence just is fully not real. It's not even, like, part of the lie Margaret, like, told police. It's just, like, here's a fake fictional scenario that, like, might have happened if what Margaret said was true, but, like, Margaret wasn't even involved in it. So, like, it doesn't matter, even if it is, because it's just a fan fiction. We've written about our own thing that didn't happen. The writers are so cool and inventive on this show. We don't give them enough credit.
Do you remember, too, there's a scene in the first episode where she's telling the story at a campfire, right?
Yes.
Which is like, it almost feels like maybe that footage was part of that. And then when they're editing it, they're like, oh, we got to open with this, you know, and I forgot what I wrote. So whatever, it seems good, you know, and they just did it. And then damn the con. You know what I mean? Maybe it's like that kind of error. I don't know.
What I imagine it is, I think that what the problem is they wanted so badly to have the Friday the 13th parentheses like the original. They wanted to have that big, like, reveal of, like, oh, it's not actually Jason. It's Mrs. Voorhees with Margaret. But, A, there's already 46 other plots going on, so I don't give a shit. And, like, B, the other thing is they shoot it in a way where, like, that doesn't work because they are showing us something. They're showing us kills that happen in the past, whereas, like, in the Friday the 13th thing, there wasn't kills in the past. It was that her son died. So, like, there wasn't a way for them to fuck it up in Friday the 13th because there wasn't, like, a, oh, okay, so the flashback wasn't real. And, like, Mrs. Voorhees has been planning this the whole time. It's, oh, there was no way we could have known it was Mrs. Voorhees until the end of the movie when it's revealed, oh, it was that lady. She's been doing this to get revenge for her son. This is just, we made up some shit about how Mr. Jingles killed people based on nothing, because none of those people survived. So it can't be, like, secondhand, like, storytelling. And it doesn't match up with what Margaret tells us later. So literally all it is they wanted to, like, secure in the audience's mind that this, like, quote-unquote massacre happened. That way, in the next episode, or later in this episode, I don't remember, for episode one, then Margaret can be like, oh, you're telling the story wrong. This is actually what happened. And it's like, oh, okay, well, that's thanks. Nice. And then and then we get a third version of the story that's like what actually happened, allegedly. And then along the way, we'll also encounter characters like Jonah or Jonas or whatever the fuck his name was, the ghost from before, who's like, I saw you getting killed by Mr. Jingles and didn't save you, and I feel very guilty. And then when I ran away, I got hit by a truck and Mr. Jingles cut my ear off. And I'm like,
who did that?
Yeah, right, who did that? Who knows?
Doesn't matter.
I don't even remember if Jonas shows up again, frankly. I mean, I assume based on what happens at the end of this episode that he will, but, like, I don't remember.
It is so much easier to write a mystery if everybody lies all the time.
Yeah,
but if people just say shit randomly.
But that's the thing, like, this isn't like Danganronpa or some shit, right? It's supposed to be like a fucking, like, you know, hey, you have
slasher?
One, right, slasher, thank you. Like, one killer with one misdirection tops. You can't just throw Richard Ramirez into Friday the 13th 1, because then it's like, Mrs. Voorhees was actually the killer, but there was also a second killer obscuring things. Like, all right, Sherlock, calm the fuck down. Like, this is a mess.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
also, Ray killed people. Ray killed people, and Montana's trying to kill people, and Xavier did porn one time, and that's supposed to be as bad as everyone else's thing for some reason. Yeah, and then Rita's not real, and she's trying to get Mr. Jingles to kill people, which is just coincidental based on, like, literally all the things that happen are a big coincidence. This, like, giant, like, and Smash Brothers, like, of serial killers is just a coincidence.
Well, and also Brooke is so boring that everyone wants to kill her at all times.
Real and true.
Yeah, don't forget that part. That's like a linchpin of the whole operation. Is why do we all want to kill this lady? She seems so boring, and everyone's like, "That's why."
Good lord! And also, Brooke's ex-fiance also killed people. Like, everybody in this show is killer adjacent.
Actually, you made a good point too, like, which is kind of like, Brooke is so boring that, like, why didn't they just have her cheat on the guy? You know what I mean? Like, just have her actually be guilty of it, as opposed to this sort of, like, convoluted kind of, like, oh, he didn't, you know, he was just wildly crazy, you know, and just thought it, you know. But that's, like, how boring she has to be, or it has to be in the archetype. So it's like, no, like, she didn't do anything wrong, and it makes our story work a lot worse, but whatever.
We made our final girl boring and unlikable. Is this good?
Yes. Yeah, and it makes Montana just, like, dumb. It makes Montana seem very stupid to be like, oh, geez, I blame you for this. Like, you know it was her fiancé who also shot himself, right? Like, you know, that's probably bad for her. She probably also didn't love that. Women gotta be sticking together. Not like this.
I just keep going back to in my mind that when Brooke told Montana about this, even though we know Montana already knew about it, that when Brooke told Montana about it, Montana's immediate response was, should we make out about it? Should we kiss a little? Would that help? Would that help? When meanwhile, now we know that Montana wants Brooke dead. And I'm like, is this any port in a storm situation? Or is just Montana just down for anything? Is that like her? She's just like, well, I see an opportunity. You might as well.
Well, speaking of any port in a storm, we should probably get back to the episode wherein we're going to have one of the spookiest ports of all.
Oh, my God.
So Ray and Brooke have scuttled off to a cabin and are hiding together, and they decide to have a romantic talk. I guess it seems like a bad time for this.
Yeah.
They tell us some more backstory where this is like where they really hammer it home that Brooke is so boring. She's like, I went to LA to be a nobody because everyone's trying to be somebody in LA, but not me. I'm so boring, and that makes me the specialist flower of all. It's like, okay, I guess, man. And then, like, she was doing good in school, but there was another guy who was, like, always coming behind her a little bit and, like, got very, very mad. And then he social engineered everyone into hating her. And then she started pretending to be stupid and, like, doing worse on her tests so that he could be first. And then she started dating him. This is, like, the most baffling story. This is, like, truly, like, Brooke, what was your dad like? How did this happen? Like, this is such a, like, this is the worst. Like, oh, yeah, there was a guy who, like, tortured me mentally for years. How could I not fuck him?
Yeah. Like, I'd love to pretend to be stupid for this guy so that he, because that's the thing is, like, she's like, oh, when I was a kid, I got bullied by this guy because he was so mad mad that a girl was better than him, so I decided to be stupid about it, and then he wanted to date me, which I thought was cool. And, like, the thing is, Brooke presents this information, and by the way, spoiler alert, that's the guy who shoots himself and other people at their wedding.
Yeah.
They present this as though, like, Brooke doesn't see this as a bad thing. She's just like, yeah, that's what happened. It was gonna be fine until he shot himself. I'm like, no, Brooke, it wasn't gonna be fine. Like, he's been shitty for forever. He's been a shitty man for forever.
Also just wild, as the little dork kid who was always top five but not often top one, I just was normal and had a crush on everyone who did better than me. That's all I did. It makes life so much easier. This is a wild bit of behavior. Like, how do you end up hating somebody for, like, doing better at multiplication tables? Because that's the presumption, right? Is this is like... like elementary school,
like
middle
children,
school shit,
like actual children.
Yeah,
it's very weird.
It can't be adults, because any adult would be like, "This is not an attractive trait for a person to have."
Yeah, this is weird shit. Also, like, it's in that, like, small story. It's so contradictory, because she's like, "I was so smart. I was the smartest kid in my class, and that made this guy mad. And so I pretended to be dumb, and then he asked me out after I started to pretend to be dumb." I'm like, that doesn't sound like something a smart person would fall for. I don't know about you,
right? But
like, that doesn't sound like something someone who is the top of their class would fall for. That sounds like someone who's, like, maybe disadvantaged in some way, or, like, vulnerable, and wouldn't, like, see through the act that was. Because, like, you're saying it out loud, Brooke. Surely you see that you were, like, duped. Like, surely saying it out loud, you're like, oh, he was manipulating me because he's abusive. Okay. Like, but she's telling this to Ray as though, like, no, that was normal. Nothing was wrong about that. That makes sense. Everyone's like that. That's what happens, is if you're a smart lady, you have to pretend to be a dumb lady, and then the men who are mean to you get to date you and then marry you and shoot themselves on your wedding day. That's what it is.
Classic, classic men.
Yep. That's what the song White Wedding's about.
Fuck you.
God damn it. Oh, Billy Idol, you fucking asshole.
You scamp.
So they have this, Brooke drops this backstory, and it's dumb and weird and doesn't make sense, and Ray just kind of goes, uh-huh, and then explains that he was like, I wanted to be a doctor because I needed to help people with medicine, and I worked my ass off, for sure, which, I don't know, man. He didn't seem that dedicated to medicine. I feel like I was more dedicated to medicine than he was. Like, he sees somebody get stabbed through the chest and is like, good luck. you'll figure it out.
Or like, oh my God, my friend's dying of alcohol poisoning in my fraternity. Well, off the cliff with you. Like, holy crap, when were you going to get started on this, like, whole pre-med thing?
God. Yeah.
He turns around and he's got, like, a full plague doctor mask on, and he's, like, holding, like, three vials. He's like, what kind of doctor did you think I was going to be?
I'm very passionate about being a plague doctor, actually.
Oh, my God.
Then they kiss. So, after this extremely soft, tepid exchange, they kiss, which... I don't know, man. I mean, there's enough crazy shit going on. Maybe your brain's all on the fritz and hormones or whatever. I guess it doesn't seem like a great time. Brooke gives the excuse of just like, well, we're probably not going to make it out tonight anyway. And I'm like, I don't know. It seems like you kick everyone's fucking ass, Brooke. It feels like if anyone should think they're getting out tonight, it should be you. You should be like... this serial killer shit's easy.
Also, the threats are neutralized. As far as they know, the threats are neutralized. They saw Richard Ramirez get his head impaled and, like, did not see him get revived. And as far as they know, Mr. Jingles got his shit blown smooth off and is like, limping around the woods at best and, like, will not be coming back to fuck with them. So, like, I don't know why she's like, well, I guess we're probably going to die before the night's over. I'm like, that's something you say when both killers are still alive and, like, other people have died. That hasn't happened. The only person that you know that has died are those rando kids who came for Jingles Night, and then that Blake, the porn guy, and then I guess they probably, ? Know about Birdie, I suppose. Xavier probably told them. Other than that, like, the people you know are still alive. Well,
sorry, I forgot. Who's Birdie?
Chef Birdie.
The chef.
Oh, thank you, Chef Birdie. Right. Okay, gotcha.
Chef Birdie.
Birdie, like a bird.
She was the best of us.
Yeah. No, she never forgets a sandwich order.
Yes, yeah, absolutely.
Peanut butter and jelly. Like, I guess I wouldn't forget if a grown-ass man like that walked in and said, peanut butter and jelly in the crust.
Yeah, you know, like, what? Right. I had that thought, too. I had that fucking thought, too, the other day, because, like, sometimes I'll, like, think over our old episodes so that I know what we're going into, and, like, I was thinking about that specific episode, and I was like, yeah, she's like, I never forget an order. You never did like the crust, and she's talking fondly as though he used to be, like, a kid who came to this camp, but he wasn't.
Yeah.
He wasn't a kid who came to this camp. He was a grown-ass man. So it's not like this. She says it, like, all endearing. Like, oh, like, yeah, like, you were always kind of a weird kid, and but I know that you like this sandwich, and you didn't like the crusts, and, like fondly, like, she has memories with him as a child. No, he only ever was at that camp as, like, a minimum 35-year-old man. Like, minimum. Bare minimum.
Rough 35.
Yeah, rough 35. Fascinating.
So, call it Indigo Prophecy, baby, because Brooke has sex with a ghost.
Let's go!
Finally. Somehow Brooke makes no note of this and has no, I guess this is her first time having sex. She's probably so in her own head about it that she, like, doesn't notice, like, I don't know, he doesn't have blood flow. Skipping ahead a bit, there's going to be a nurse who takes Ray's blood pressure and goes, oh, you have no blood pressure and no heartbeat. And I'm like, you need that for dick hard.
Yeah.
So, like, there is that. You do need that for dick hard, or else dick not hard. So I don't know.
Ray
made it happen.
My thought process is probably Brooke, like many, many of us that are vagina havers, the first time we have sex, it's probably so bad and awkward that we're like, it's always probably like this, right? Like, everybody probably sucks. It probably just kind of sucks, right? Like, in general, like, it's probably always this bad. I've been led to believe it's probably always this bad. And she's also probably, I don't know, trying to be nice. Like, it's like,
don't worry about it, baby. Yeah, like, you know.
But, like, they don't mention that they're, like, when he says afterwards, like, was it good? And she doesn't go, your dick was never hard. And he goes, yeah, my dick was never hard. Which is, like, that comes up, I feel like.
I think they are. I think, unfortunately, like, it doesn't make sense. I'm not saying it makes sense. And they, like, explain it in a way that makes it make sense. But in this show, every time we have had ghost rules, the ghosts do always fuck. So, like, I think we're just accepting that in the American Horror Story universe, ghosts can fuck for whatever reason. They're just allowed to. They have, like, the capability to do so for some reason, somehow.
They should just never put a blood pressure cuff on a ghost, because I would have let all this slide if they didn't have someone go, whoa, your blood pressure's not working right. Time to get you to a hospital. Which, if a guy is sitting up talking to you saying, I don't know, I feel okay, and he's flatlining, there's something else wrong. We'll get there.
The other thing is, like, going back to, like, this show and ghosts, like, we've seen, not even in other seasons, in this season with Jonas, like, when a ghost gets stabbed, they still bleed and stuff. So, like, ghosts have a physical body in this for some reason. Because if you don't have blood pressure, you probably also wouldn't gush blood from your neck like Jonas did. Like, it wouldn't shoot out of you. You need blood pressure for that. So them doing the blood pressure bit at the end is fucking stupid. It's literally the one part
crazy
where it's like, like, it's the one thing they needed to not do. Because not only does it not, like, serve a purpose in that scene, it also doesn't make any sense, and it fucks up all their other ghost rules.
Right. But, cool. Yeah. So they bang, and then we go back to Dee Dee, who is Rita, or not Rita, you know. And she's in the cabin, or she comes into the cabin with Montana and Xavier, you know, who's now awake. And she confesses, she like tells him, like, look, I'm the one who let Jingles out, you know, but I think we can make it out of here. And like, she wants to be a hero now, like one of the good guys, which is, it's a little late for that, you know. But yeah. Xavier, like, is mad at her. You know, he's just like,
yeah. This is the scene where Xavier becomes a different character entirely. Mm-hmm. This happens in a lot of shows with bad writing where a character will be in scene A through C as one character, and then inexplicably from scene D on, they're just someone else entirely. Xavier is about to be just someone else entirely. Because Donna, like, comes in and essentially says, like, ah, you know, I think we can do it. I think we can make it out of this. I fucked up so bad. And he just goes, you ruined my face. I need to fucking kill you now. And she's like, what? Wait, haven't you been like lying down and tired? Not anymore. Now it's time for me to chase you out with a poker or something. Like, it's unbelievable. And he's going to be this way the rest of the goddamn episode. Yep. And for all I know, the rest of the goddamn season. It sucks. It sucks. Xavier's so fun and such a sweet, silly boy. And then all of a sudden they're like, nah, he also has decided he's killing people now.
He gets to be like a little silly and whimsical at the end of this episode. Like a little bit. He gets like one scene where he gets to be a funny, silly little guy. But other than that, he has the fire sickness, madness or whatever. Mm-hmm. The thing that Two-Face from Batman has, I assume, which is the thing. Right.
Yeah, the thing that made him
and you get mad.
The thing that made him go like, I gotta burn the forest down. What do you mean? I gotta.
Yeah,
gotta
someone has to. I
gotta burn the whole forest down.
Someone has to.
So we cut back to Brooke and Ray, where Ray asks, "Was it good for you?" And then Brooke says, "Yeah," and then waits an unfortunately long time and goes, "Yeah, it was." Which, rough stuff. And then she goes to like go get a drink afterwards. Oh, I think she also, is this where she mentions like it was her first time? Like when he's like, it wasn't good for you? She goes like, yeah, I guess it was. Cause like, I don't know, this is my first time. So I don't really have a reference point. And then she goes to the fridge to get a drink. And then sees Ray's head in the fridge, which I'm seeing a note. This is apparently just stolen wholesale from another movie.
Yeah
Friday the 13th part 2.
Yeah.
Like literally. Like, I think they like do the opening it. Sequence. Word.
I think even Friday the 13th does it in 3 also, right? Where like Jason hides somebody's head in the fridge for them to discover, you know?
Yep.
And it's like, yep, yeah. Anyway.
Yeah. Prank, this is just, but this is fully just Friday the 13th. Like, just fully a Friday the 13th ripoff. Also, right. Going back to the, was it your first time type deal? Was it? Does that count? If it was a ghost?
Well, she doesn't know now. Oh, yeah, because as soon as she sees the head in the fridge, she starts yelling at Ray for being like, why didn't you tell me you were a ghost? And he's like, I didn't know I was a ghost, okay? This is scary for me, too. That's my head.
No, you did this on purpose. Like, that's the thing with, like, so many things in horror, but specifically American Horror Story in particular, that's, like, always like, oh, it was a prank, or you're pranking me. Like, what motivation would Ray as a ghost, hiding the fact he's a ghost, like, get him? What do you think that he's gaining by, like, being like, haha, I tricked you into having sex with a ghost. Like, okay, and do I have, like, a ghost STD now? Like, what do you gain from this? Like, I don't know what Brooke thinks the end goal was of, like, him quote-unquote tricking her. Like, what prank do you think this...
It's also the prank. Shittiest prank, right? Because it's like, how about, oh, just hide my severed head in the fridge. Gotcha.
And pretend I'm not dead. I'm going to pretend I'm not dead for a funny hee-haw prank. And then after we have sex, have her discover my head so that she'll know I am dead. Ooh, got him. GG. Like, cool yeah, prank.
The reaction is very odd. Like, I think a more normal reaction would be like, oh my god, and being scared, and then being like, did you know?
I mean, like, how did you die? Who killed you? Who did yeah. this? Like, why are you a ghost?
And not being like, no, don't touch me. No, I don't want to be touched. I don't want to be sodden by a ghost. Like, what do you mean?
Yeah, I would simply be much more chill about it if I found out that someone I had sex with was a ghost. I'd be like, damn, can't, not many people can say that probably.
Don't see that every day.
Yeah. Yeah, she's mad. Rare, like, she's mad, mad. She's like mad, mad. Like, very incredibly mad. And this is like not, it's not even like, oh, this is a misunderstanding and she's gonna like be cool about it later. No, she's just mad about it. Like, she's just going to be mad about it, and she's gonna like go freak out about it to other people, because she like yeets herself out of there and then goes back to where Montana and Xavier were. And Montana's like, where have you been? Which is fair, because she left them in danger to go have sex with a ghost. So, like, honestly, fair of Montana to ask, where the fuck have you been? And then Brooke just comes in hot, comes into this room hot, and is like, are you a fucking ghost too? And which is just a fucking insane. And like, now
you're a ghost. You're a ghost. You're a ghost. Fuck you. You're definitely a ghost.
Like, yeah. Like, why are you mad at people for being dead, Brooke? Like, what the fuck are you talking about? Like, do you think everyone's just doing a funny prank now? And they're like, ha ha. Well, let's all be dead and not tell Brooke. Like, what the fuck do you think is happening?
Do you think it's a case of like, Brooke is so trivially handling every serial killer that she just assumes anyone who gets killed is being lazy?
Yeah.
Like, she's just like, it was so fucking easy. Like, I just picked up any object nearby and hit him in the head. Like, he woke me up in the middle of the night. What are you all doing?
Yeah, I simply wouldn't get serial killed, idiots. Yeah, it's very strange. Like, the whole way she handles this is so bizarre. And Montana,
oh,
like,
so it's cool to be a ghost now. Everybody wants to be a ghost except Brooke. And no one tells Brooke we're all going to be ghosts now. Fuck you guys.
Like, yeah, she acts like she's mad she's being, like, left out of something. And I'm like, first of all, it's just Ray. And second of all, like, okay, maybe they don't want to scare you. Did you, like, think about that? Like, if they are all ghosts, maybe they just didn't want to worry you. Like, it's weird that your first assumption was, you did this maliciously. You're all lying to me about being ghosts because you hate me. Very strange. Very, very strange.
But very true.
Very true. Yeah, they do all hate her. And then Montana's like, okay, it is pretty weird that you had sex with a ghost. But is it cool if I try to kill you now? Because Richard Ramirez is dead. So can I just do my thing? Because I also have a subplot, in case the audience has forgotten. I have a subplot where I'm trying to kill you. So could I try to kill you? And then she fucks it up and then just knocks her out instead. And now it's time to do the title card that tells us that a time is happening. Which is nothing. It says 20 minutes until sunrise, but what they actually mean is 20 minutes until the kids arrive, which is not the same measurement of time. You can't use those interchangeably. Like, there's no urgency in... Because it means, in horror, that means two different things. 20 minutes until sunrise means you just have to live 20 more minutes in horror, usually.
If you're fighting, like, vampires, too, that is an important thing. But you're a similar monster that has trouble with the sun. But, yeah, here it's nothing, you know?
Yeah, it's just people. All. And, again, most of the threats, as far as they're aware, have been neutralized. So, like, there's not really anything about sunrise. So
he was in Vietnam.
Yeah.
There's sun in Vietnam. They have that there.
You can kill people when the sun's up, turns out. Crazy. That's what the movie Midsommar's about. You can kill people when the sun's up. It's crazy. They let you do that. Yeah. It's wild.
Just in Sweden, but yeah, absolutely.
Just in Sweden, yeah. If you're at like a cool, funny like village. But yeah, it's like 20 minutes until sunrise, which again is framed as like, oh, okay, you just need to make it until sunrise. That's the framing of that. Whereas... like, spoiler alert, like I said, what it really means is 20 minutes until the bus full of kids arrives, which is a different thing, because now you're like, uh-oh, a bus full of kids is going to be here in 20 minutes. That's a different conflict entirely. In fact, some might even say it's the opposite conflict.
It doesn't even make sense, though, if you think about it, because the only way the kids would arrive at sunrise if their parents sent them to the camp, like, in the middle of the night, like, 4 or 5 a.m. yeah. or something, right? And then the bus goes there.
Also, like, shitty time to arrive at a camp. Like, at sunrise? Shitty.
Right?
No one's had breakfast yet. Everyone's tired. Like, miserable. The camp counselors would have had to get up early. This sucks. This
sucks. Who's ready for fun? Oh, no one? Oh, we didn't plan this well.
Yeah, everybody's cranky and no one's had breakfast? Damn, we probably should have thought about a different time to, like, show up at the camp. But yeah. Anyway, Montana is doing, like, an evil person monologue to Brooke about how Brooke is shitty and how she's cool, but Brooke isn't. And that means that Brooke should be dead. And then we get a flashback in this of Montana seeing Brooke go into her aerobic studio. I guess the implication is that up until that point, Montana never thought about killing Brooke or had any ill intent towards her whatsoever.
Why does, like, American Horror Story always feel like Elle from Death Note is watching the show where it's like, we really have to explain, like, how they met each other in the aerobics thing? Like, I don't fucking care. And I don't think the audience really fucking cares either. But it's like, well, how did she know to, like, get Richard Ramirez? Like, she wouldn't have. It's stupid. We're just rolling with it. Stop.
That's the biggest thing, is that and, like fake Rita's story, like that one, and fucking the main story of Mr. Jingles and Margaret. The thing is, no amount of explanation you give me is going to be satisfactory because it's fucking stupid. All three of them are fucking stupid stories. So you explaining it more is just making me mad. If you just, like, kind of yada yada'd it and was like, yeah, Montana hates Brooke because she blames her for her brother's death or whatever, like, don't give me more details because I'm just going to be like, well, now it doesn't make any sense. It already was stupid, but now it really doesn't make any sense because a lot of coincidences are happening.
Yeah, and, like, I mean, even just from the word go, the fact that Montana, or that Brooke wouldn't know who Montana is immediately if she was marrying her brother that she was allegedly, like, attached at the hip and, like, kind of weirdly possessive of. Like, Montana would have made herself known to Brooke, right?
Yeah.
Like, this isn't a case of, like, they would have definitely crossed paths. It's like, no. A person like Montana with Montana's traits would have interjected herself in between them before this all went down at some point, right? Like, maybe not to the point of, like, being a huge impact or something, but, like, they would know who each other is.
But, like, and you know what? Even without that, like, how do you marry someone and have never met their sister, like, period, right?
Well, I think Montana was the sister of the guy that her fiance shot, so the best friend.
Oh, which I just like the fiance.
It's one step removed. It's one step removed, but she specifically says, Montana specifically says, that her brother was that guy's, like, best friend from childhood. So still, there is a level of connection where you would still know each other. You would still be aware of each other.
Yeah.
Because she knew that guy so well that she spent the night with him. So, like, clearly Brooke knew him, like, intimately.
Yeah. Right.
Also, just, like, the more distance they feel the need to put between Brooke and Montana to make this plausibly deniable, the more stupid and wild it is that Montana would blame Brooke. Like, it's one of those things that's just, like, the farther you get away, the more it's like, you would blame anybody but her.
But
also, like, if you thought your brother slept with her and, like, cheated on some, or cheated with somebody, like, right before he got married, like, that's also not, like, cool.
Also,
you know,
this is the signature American Horror Story, making things harder than they need to be, because, like, why don't you just go to her aerobics class, because you already know her from her brother, who you know.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, we don't need any convoluted coincidence. Like, you know her.
I would go as far as to say that, like, it's more impactful to reveal that someone you think is your friend has been trying to kill you rather than a person you just met. Like, if you find out that, like, your friend or a person you thought you could, like, rely on because you've both gone through this, like, hard thing together, like, to find out they were actually trying to get a serial killer to kill you, like, that's more impactful than just, like, yeah, this lady I've known for 24 hours has been trying to kill me, it turns out. Like, turns out she's been trying to murder me this whole time. It's a lot less impactful. It's just in general, because, like, going back to the wedding thing, like, that guy was going to kill those people regardless, because Brooke, as far as we know, like, didn't do it. So, like, he'd already made his mind up that he was going to shoot his best man and then her dad and then himself. Like, there's nothing Brooke could have done, because even if she did it or didn't do it, he was going to shoot those people regardless. So there's like no way you can slice this that it's Brooke's fault. And I feel like no one is nobody, not even Montana, is stupid enough to be like, yeah, this is Brooke's fault. That's why that guy shot three people. Like, he was crazy. And everyone knew that. Like, everybody already knew that he was like that, TM. Just not like.
Do you think they put a picture of him, like, riding a jet ski with his family smiling in the paper?
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Beloved valedictorian because he was number one in his class because Brooke pretended to be stupid.
God, you're right. It would say valedictorian in the fucking thing about how he killed people.
Then we get a flashback of the realization of like, oh, this is why they know each other or whatever. And somehow Brooke now figures out that Montana sent Richard Ramirez, which is like an unbelievable leap of logic, right? Because like she doesn't know that she's interacting with Richard Ramirez before now.
I don't think she even tells her. I think she's just like, I want you dead because you're the reason my brother is dead, allegedly. Like, I don't I think Brooke just comes to that. I guess because the other alternative would be, damn, four people are trying to kill me at this summer camp? That's crazy. What are the odds that four people are trying to kill me?
This is the second craziest thing I've done tonight, have happened to me tonight.
Yeah.
What's the first? Nothing.
Yeah, for someone so boring, like, a lot happens to Brooke. Like, Brooke has a lot of things happen to her, or in her, like, vicinity.
I know. If this were, like, a comedy, it would be a good, like, this is how she, like, gets her groove, or, you know what I mean? Like, her, like, coming-of-age story.
But it's not.
She's like an inverted silent protagonist, whereas like silent protagonists often have to be like very emotive or like, evocative of what they're feeling or thinking otherwise. Mm-hmm. She's like the opposite, where she'll do like a cool action thing and then just like refuse to have an emotion about it. Like, just will not, just stone face afterwards, like had sex with a ghost, won't bring it up with anyone. Just so boring.
Unless it's to complain and be mad about it.
Right.
Yeah. Then they go, oh, right. So Montana's just like, I wanted to kill you myself, but I wasn't sure if I could. So I got someone else to kill you. But it didn't work. So I think it's my time. I'm going to do it. So, yeah, I guess, if you want something done, do it yourself, right? I guess. Yeah, they fight. It's whatever. Brooke once again has found a random thing in the environment that wins instantly because she's willing to just do it. In this case, she finds a sewing needle from somewhere and just jams it in her leg. You know, sure. Classic stuff. Brooke then just like sprints out into the woods, escaping. Donna sees her like run past, and then Mr. Jingles just shows up behind her and is like, hey, you shouldn't have brought me here. That was really fucked up. And then she goes, wait. Do you want backstory about my dad? Oh, man. Which Jingles would probably have just been like, I don't know you that well, and I definitely don't know your dad. I definitely do not know who the fuck your dad is.
Realistically, I think if she actually got to explain about her dad, like being a serial killer, I think he'd be like, that's fucked up. You made me do this shit because your dad was a serial killer? That's fucked up. I'm more mad now. I'm actually more angry. Yeah, but she tells her story, and then Jingles is like, that's nice. Cool story. Turns out I didn't kill anybody before tonight, actually, and maybe the people in Vietnam. And then he, like, pulls, I guess, the bullets that he got shot with out of his own body while telling her the story that Margaret just told him about him not killing anybody. And I'm like, did you just leave those in there until now so you could do it for dramatic effect?
Because my big issue with this is if you do get an impalement or a shot wound or something along those lines, there are two correct times to remove the stuff, the projectiles from you, and it's immediately or right before they do surgery on you. Just leave that shit plugged up. don't pull it out right away because, like, you don't know where you're going to start spouting blood from. So, like, unless you feel like jamming a thumb in your own, you know, carotid artery, probably just leave it in. just leave it in. So, yeah, he does the worst thing of, like, leaving them in there long enough to be, like, bad and, like, cut into him. And then he's like, man, I'm not in a hospital, but now seems like a good time.
Yeah, might as well start fishing them out of me because, like, I don't know. I want to snack on them. It's really unclear why he pulls them out of him right now. Like, there's genuinely, because they're not, like, slowing him down. Like, he's doing fine with them in. So, like, they clearly didn't hit any vital organs. You might as well just leave those bad boys in there. They might as well just be, like, a new accessory until you can get to the hospital. But he's like, nah, I'm gonna fish him out.
So Donna's response to Mr. Jingles telling her, sorry, I wasn't actually a serial killer. I'm not actually that into killing people. And she goes, word, word, word. Can you kill me? And he goes, what? Which, he's right. That's crazy to be like, yeah, I don't kill people. I'm not into it. You fucking just had a misread on me front to back to be like, what about me?
Would you make an exception?
One for the road? Yeah.
Do you want to?
Are you interested in this? And then he goes, no, man, I only have one kill left, which, yeah, it has to be Margaret, right? Like, he doesn't say it explicitly, but it's like, yeah, it's going to be Margaret. And he tells Donna, like, you're going to have to live with what you did. And it's like, you did kill people tonight. Like, explicitly, you did do murders tonight. So, like, you also have to live with that, man. you did do that. Like, that... Like, he just put a oar in the ground and impaled a nurse's head on it, right? Like, I'm not misremembering that. He did kill that lady.
He put Xavier in an oven.
Yeah, like, I mean, seriously. Yeah. Like, honestly, like, at this point, like, why don't you just, like, be like, yeah, you're right, you know? Like, I'll make an exception. You can have two, you know? Like,
I got tricked. I got freaking tricked. I got freaking tricked into killing a nurse. I got freaking tricked into putting a guy in the oven.
How did you get tricked?
She told me I was the kind of guy who would do that kind of thing, and I believed her.
Oh, my, like, Lord.
That is not duress, brother. You need more than... She told me I was a serial killer, so I was just like, okay.
Yeah, shame on me for having faith in people, I guess. Everyone's always taking advantage of old Mr. Jingles.
Oh, man. So, yeah, they part ways. We now are getting to a cut of Montana just screaming and chasing Brooke through the woods. So I do like that Montana has spent so much time being the mastermind behind all of this and, like, really doing big thinkums with every move. And now she's just like, fuck it, gonna chase her with a knife through the woods like a banshee. Yeah, that's my plan now. Brooke, oh my God, Brooke, like, hides near a tree, but then it's just like, and so Montana just, like, fucking just, like, spears her to the ground, just absolutely slams her. And then, yeah, they fight and Brooke gets the knife.
Yippee. Yay. What a good fight.
Yeah.
She gets the knife, but, like, and you'd be like, oh, okay, she's gonna win. But, like, Montana's like, you won't, pussy. You won't stab me. And just, like, walks up on her. And then the scene ends. And, like, given the context, it's like, she's probably right. I don't think Brooke is gonna stab her. She didn't seem like she was going to.
Yeah.
The next scene made me laugh so hard I almost threw up. It's so funny. It cuts away from them fighting. Margaret, after killing Chet, is, like, I guess coming back to kill the other people or whatever she's planning on doing. And she sees just random loose keys on the ground. And then she looks up from the keys on the ground, and Jingles is standing there and is like, "Those belong to you. You're Mr. Jingles," which is the funniest fucking thing I've ever heard in my life. Like, like, okay, so are the, how are the keys related to the murders then? Like, the keys seem to be your thing regardless of whether or not you were a murderer. It just happened to be they called you Mr. Jingles because you were a guy who liked keys and you killed people. You can't just make someone else Mr. Jingles, because that implies that you're putting the fascination with keys on someone else, not the serial killing part. Oh, it's so funny. It's such a funny scene, because, like, first of all, walking up to the keys, because the thing is, in case you guys have forgotten, the keys aren't fucking important ever. The keys are, like, literally never ever one time.
The keys are there because they can't legally have the soundtrack go when he's like nearby. So they're just like, shake some keys or something, and then they'll know he's there.
Ugh. So like, for him to be like, "Those belong to you, you're Mr. Jingles," that's like being like, "Oh, you tricked me into serial killing people," and then like tossing your cat's collar at them and being like, "You own Mr. Stuffums now." Like, it's not related. Like, it's nothing. It's like not related at all to what's going on. I think at one point it seems very much so like they wanted the keys to be relevant in some way, but then they just could never find like a point where the keys would ever be relevant, because they're not relevant to him being in Vietnam. They're not relevant to him cutting off ears. They're not relevant to how he killed people. He didn't like use his keys to get into places because he didn't fucking kill anybody. Like, he just happened to be a janitor who had a lot of keys, which like janitors do. Custodial people do have a lot of keys. That's like super common. So for him to be, that's like calling him Mr. Jumpsuit because he was wearing a jumpsuit because he was a janitor.
Yeah. Like, it's brutal, too, because, like, there's so many ways they could have had it done. Like, you mentioned, like, oh, yeah, he could have just had, like, a weird place locked up with a special key, and that's why he was so protective of them, because he didn't want people to see his, like, weird murder shrine or his weird shrine to a presumably fairly younger camp counselor or something. You know, like, there's things he could have had that were, like, a reason he was the keys man.
Right.
He just has keys. That's not a, he has keys. That doesn't make him the keys man.
We all have keys. You're not special, Mr. Jingles. We all have keys.
It's not like he showed up in like a pink bowler hat. Like, then you can call him the bowler hat killer, you know?
Right.
Like,
right.
Or the jazz man. Yeah.
Oh boy.
Beat up.
But yeah. She's like, "I should have shot you in the head." And yeah. So
yeah, probably.
Thanks for that. Oh well, too late. Too late, Thanos. Anyway, so he picks her up, strangles her. She's got a knife, and it doesn't matter because fucking Xavier has a bow and arrow and shoots him in the with an arrow, and then gets four more shots on him. So, like, Jingles just cannot die, it seems like. But finally, but except for now, where he, like, starts to cry on the ground and then falls over and dies. But
also, like, it's strange because the first arrow just fully incapacitates him. Like, he's just paralyzed when it hits him. Which I think would be a more normal reaction, right? Like, I think if I got shot with an arrow, I'd probably be stunned for a second and be like, "Fuck! Ah, fuck!" You know, and like not really focused on anything. The difference is I wasn't just shot with a handgun five times like a scene ago and just totally no-sold that shit.
Also, so, these are like presumably not real arrows also, because I doubt they'd have like
arrows.
Yeah, they wouldn't have like live arrows like at a children's summer camp.
Yeah, they would have like a little tiny point on them, but yeah, not like
shoot
fucking like broadhead with razors. Yeah.
Like, you'd probably have to shoot him in the already existing bullet holes to probably even puncture him, unless you were like really strong, which I guess Xavier's probably like kind of strong, maybe, but like those probably aren't going to pierce you. I think they're designed specifically not to pierce you.
Also, Here Comes Ty Tuesday being boring. Those also were almost assuredly recurve bows and probably lightweight recurve bows because they were for children camping. And kids can't do a long bow. It's not because they're bad or a fault of them. It's just like you need to be able to pull like over 100 pounds back with one arm without fucking shattering your bones, you know? So like it was a... probably a real light recurve bow, especially if he was just gripping and ripping them like that. So that's like maybe like 20, 35 pounds of draw force. Yeah, that's not going to kill somebody with target arrows, I don't think.
He's got the sun madness or the oven madness or whatever. So it gives him like plus 20 to archery, question mark. But it's a very strange system.
Speaking though of getting killed and dying, then Dave here has a little victory dance, goes, "Hey, Margaret, wake up," and she just stabs him. Again, no point to it, but what the hell, yeah. Right?
She likes it.
I think at some point, too, Xavier mentions, like, "Oh, thank God I was acting as Robin Hood for a scene," and I'm like, Robin Hood doesn't shoot people with a bow during the play, I don't think.
No, probably not. You probably didn't need archery, right?
Yeah, they don't usually tell you, like, okay, now shoot an arrow at the other actor.
Right.
That's usually frowned upon.
This needs to look real, okay? But
real Jared Leto, like, method acting type shit. Like, real Joker, like, method acting here. My poor, beautiful son.
And as a quick reminder in summary here, so... Margaret was being attacked by Jingles and being like throttled by her and lifted up in the air. And Xavier ran in, saw only her being strangled by Mr. Jingles and said, "Don't worry, Margaret, I'll protect you." Pulled out a bow, shot Jingles multiple times and was like, "Whew, that was close. Well, the good news is that was definitely the killer and you're not the killer. So I'm going to protect you. We're in this together, Margaret." And then Margaret went, "Shanks for asking," and just stabs him for no discernible reason. Like, it's absolutely unfucking real. Like, she has no motivation to stab anyone here.
Right. So then she leaves, and then Jingles is still not dead, but he's going to die, except for Richard Ramirez goes, "How about a Phoenix down, courtesy of Satan?" And
thank you, Satan.
Yeah, thank you, Satan. So
happy birthday,
boom.
Satan.
He's back.
Yippee, right. Satan can do that. Satan can do that. It really kind of makes the whole Jesus thing kind of seem like kind of laughable if you think about it. Because like
not
Satan,
a big deal.
Yeah, Satan can just revive fucking anybody at any time. So who cares?
Also, like, how long did Jesus take to come back?
Like 3 days.
A whole weekend.
Yeah.
Whole weekend. Lazy. Should have been like Satan just popped up right away.
God takes business days to revive people, it turns out.
Right.
Yeah, he famously hates working on weekends.
Yep.
Now final chapter.
So yeah, they just he's fine. He's fine now. He's good. He's fine. He's just good. Yeah, Mr. Jingles is fine now. They're good. They're good.
Yep.
So now final title card. Dun dun.
Sunrise.
This also known as exactly when the campers are arriving. Also known as clearly a few hours after sunrise.
So now they rip off the movie Candyman a little bit, actually, because Montana and Brooke are having this like fight with a knife, you know, and Montana does manage to stab Brooke, who punches her, takes the knife. And since it's sunrise in the middle, she stabs her, she's got the knife up, and then the kids all roll up in the school bus and see her stabbing Montana.
Oh, brother!
Oh, more timing. She can't catch a break.
Oh, geez, how awkward.
There are days and there are days.
It's like, at this point, you would have to just be like, "Damn, I don't care about them kids." Like, I don't give a shit. Like, "Oh, the kids saw me do something hype. Yeah, tough shit. Figure it out. I don't care." Oh, man. And yeah, it is literally like they're fighting, and the exact moment the campers come around the corner is just Brooke like bringing the knife down and being like, "I'm gonna kill you, Montana." That's it. That's all the kids saw. Yeah. Oh, man. And yeah, like, it looks bad, but you could, like, explain. Like, there's a lot of stuff that's going on, you know? There's, like, how many dead bodies? Like, multiple Punji pits. A couple random cosplayers are dead. Guy in his guy is like nailed to the backside of a shower wall, which it seems like Brooke couldn't possibly do. So there's like no way that Brooke could have done all of this, and it would be absolutely ludicrous for them to, you know, pin all of this on Brooke.
But you know, she's
so they pin all of this on Brooke. Yeah, Brooke did all of this. In case you didn't know, Brooke did this.
Yeah,
90 pounds soaking wet. Brooke like definitely did all of this. For what reason, you might be asking? What is the motivation they're gonna go with?
She did it.
She wanted.
Kid saw it. She did it.
Yeah, she wanted to.
She thought it'd be fun.
Frank.
Yeah. So it cuts to her being put in the back of a cop car, which is wild. It's wild. No one's gonna ask any questions. They're just gonna be cool with it. And then this is another wild chess level 1 trillion move for Margaret here. Margaret happens to be walking towards the front, and she decides, oh, I need to make sure everybody knows that Brooke also stabbed me, so I'm going to stab myself in the leg, which... do you have to? Can you just be like, I was attacked by her, and she got away?
She did bad. Like, when she was attacking me, she did bad.
Do you have to be like, she stabbed? Like, is the story better if she stabbed? Because I don't feel like the story's that much better with her being stabbed versus not being stabbed.
I think Margaret just likes it. She keeps framing it as like, oh, I got that dog in me and I keep injuring myself to like sell my story. And I'm like, you don't have to, though. Like,
she's probably looking for like one last kill, like just one more to close it out, you know? But all right, well, I can stab myself at least. Close enough.
Also, stabbing yourself in the thigh. Shockingly high risk maneuver, like really way worse than you think. There's a lot of like big blood lines in there, and if you cut one of those, it's we're done. Then she runs out and she just starts screaming like, I just got stabbed, like an hour ago. Please don't pay attention to how fresh the wound is. She did it, but it was earlier. Trust. Then they have the medical examiner and one of the cops outside talking about the head they found in the fridge, and they're just like weirdly like they're trying to sell like they're very detached about it, like I said, but it doesn't really make a ton of sense.
Yeah, they're like, oh, is this head to the body that we found on the road? And the other guy's like, I don't know. And I'm like, there's only one black character, so this seems like an open and shut case. But yeah,
well, you can at least throw in like a probably, like it's likely, you know, even if you're not totally sure, and then egg on my face if not. But like, you know, what did the I have no idea. What am I, CSI, you know? And then
Then Ray wanders up to the ambulance that's hanging out front, because, you know, obviously people need medical care of some variety. And Ray walks up to the paramedic and is just kind of like, oh, yeah, I don't feel awesome. And she's like, oh, okay, yeah, you seem like you've been through a lot tonight. And she puts a blood pressure cuff on him and gets a reading of none reading. And thank you. I presume this was a Liz note.
Yes, yeah.
Thank you. Correct. If somebody gets a reading of null, or like if I was trying to give you any form of medical test and I got zero as the response, I would either go, I would just go like, my equipment's fucked.
Yeah,
let me go
I
get another
think.
One. Yeah. It would just be like, oh, my blood pressure cuff is screwed up. Let me grab another. Well, at first you'd be like, okay, let me try it one more time. And then you'd be like, oh, okay, yeah, maybe something's wrong here. And then you go get the one where you like listen to them manually. And then you would be like, oh, this guy like doesn't have a pulse.
Right.
But they don't do that. They just have her put on a cuff once, see it zero, and go, we gotta get you to a hospital.
Very jumpy.
It's some real fucking who's on first behavior. And also to be like, zero blood, we gotta get this guy to a hospital. Like, ma'am, with all due respect, it is too goddamn late. If he has zero blood in him, he's already gone.
Also, he seems to be doing pretty okay for somebody who has zero blood.
Yeah, that's the other thing. You think you'd be like, hey, you're talking to me. That's crazy. How are you doing that? Yeah, and so she's like, yeah, we got to get you to a hospital. Now get in the back of the ambulance. And he gets in the back, and he's like fucking cheesing. He's like smiling his ass off back there. He's like, nice, I'm going to get a smooth ride out of here. And then it's time for the next chapter in Ghost Ray. And right before they're about to leave the camp, he just like pops out of the, you know, of the ambulance and is like sitting by the front door being like, ah, dang it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we wanted to do the Violet sequence from season one again. They forgot they already did this.
Mm-hmm. Yep, so they drive out, yeah, he teleports out. And then, like, Jonas walks up to him. He's like, yeah, you live here. And then somebody steals a cop car.
I could detect another ripple in the ghost force, so right. I came over. Like, why are you here, Jonas?
New ghost friend has dropped.
Right. And then what happens next? Oh, yeah. And then, like,
Montana steals a cop's gun, which is pretty funny.
Yeah. And then shoots him. And, yeah, which, like, that was stupid because now you have a cop ghost, right, on our hands. But, I mean, they don't show that or anything. It's just, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then, like, Ray and Jonas are just like, what the hell is going on here? And then Montana, this is so annoying. She's like, there's no Montana, only Zool. And then, like, not, you can't even just leave it alone. Just like, what, you guys never saw Ghostbusters? Like, fuck off. Like, you know, just stop it. Like, don't tell me what the reference is.
Also, Ghostbusters had only been out for 2 weeks, based on their canon timeline.
This is a joke you only do if you, like, intended for the first one to hit bad, whether, like, either bad, like, not funny, or bad, like, grotesque. You know, that's where you go, like, what, you haven't seen the movie? Like, that could work. The other thing that annoys me about this is that Ray and Jonas, their response to watching Montana, like, pull a gun and shoot a cop is like, oh, brother, not again, you little fucking stinker. And it's like, what do you, this, she just died. What do you mean again? Like, how are you all, like, reacting like, of course she did, like, classic Montana.
Yeah, because she didn't even, like, successfully kill anybody while alive. Like, she tried to kill Brooke and then, like, didn't. So, like, it's not like Montana has, like, a kill count. It's just, like, she's been around other people who have done killing.
And then she's like, look, we can be gods here. It's purgatory, which, like, well, you don't know what it is, and that's weird, but all right. And then, like, and Liz, you have a good point in your notes. Like, wouldn't there be other ghosts, like all the camp counselors that you died before? But there aren't. So, yeah, no is the answer somehow, even though it should be yes. And then we go, and then we get a brief thing where Richard Ramirez and Mr. Jingles are, like, driving together in the cop car, laughing it up, because they've escaped Camp Red
Bull.
Sitting back like, you got what I need. Just hanging out in the back, having a cool time with the boys. Oh, my God. They literally cut it like it's, like, Ramirez and Mr. Jingles' Hot Girl Summer. Like, yeah. It's so funny.
Like, new buddy cop adventure just dropped where two serial killers steal a cop's car and then go somewhere. Question mark, question mark, question mark. I don't know where they went, but they're going.
They were just trying to find Satan, and instead they found each other.
Oh, that's beautiful. That's beautiful.
It really is, though. Oh, I'm happy for them.
And then, yeah, title card to say that they're in Los Angeles, 166 miles away. So, quick wrap up. Montana's dead. Xavier's dead. Ray is dead. Chet is dead. Random cop is dead. Margaret's alive and not arrested or being interrogated in any way, shape, or form. Brooke is taking the blame for everything for some reason. And Ramirez and Jingles are going on an adventure. Is there any major characters I've missed? Donna?
Yeah, I was going to say, Donna, we don't know where she's at. And Trevor got stabbed, but we haven't confirmed that he's, like, a ghost. So we don't know what Trevor's up to. He could still be actively dying. Yeah. I think it's everybody. Yeah, the aristocrats.
We're only halfway through the fucking season.
Are we even halfway through the season? Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, there's only 10 episodes.
Episode five. And episode 6 is titled Episode 100. And they just mean of, like, American Horror Story at large, which is insane for them to name their episode that, because it's an anthology series.
It's popping just, a champagne bottle.
It's a little like a flex to yourself. Yeah, it's literally the odometer rolled over. So they're like, let's title the episode that. So, good.
Probably Thanks. Makes more sense than Red Dawn.
The sun came up.
There's
You're
blood.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, there's blood, so yeah. Technically red.
Well, I mean, frankly, for the first time in a while, I don't know what the fuck we're doing in the next episode, and the title's giving me no help, so I'm excited to see. I'm hoping we get like a 4-year time skip where like Brooke gets control over like her hockey or something, you know? Like we get something like that. I think that'd be cool. You've both seen this already,
I
yes?
forgot.
Or no?
Yeah.
I totally like blacked out everything from this season except for Richard Ramirez coming back to life. I forgot Mr. Jingles came back.
Damn.
Like, with the Satan
Okay,
pact.
Word.
I did.
Toby, do you have any guesses what you think they're going to do after this? Do you have any inklings?
I feel like it's going to be American Horror Story season 1-ish where like now the ghosts are all interacting and stuff. I'm going to stop there because I did accidentally see a little of the next episode because I like left the room or whatever. Okay. So I'll stop there. Yeah. But that's what I feel like was going to happen when this episode, like, and I'm like, I guess we're going to get more like ghost shenanigans and new people coming. But
oh God. Yeah. Cause Xavier is a ghost there too.
Right,
so,
yeah.
Oh my God, they're going to do another time skip and it's going to be the ghost trying to solve Margaret or something. Oh, fuck.
That's something yep. like that. I think. Yeah.
Probably.
If I had to guess, yeah.
Yeah. Well, hey, everybody. Thank you so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed hearing us lament over having to watch this show, if nothing else. Yeah, man. Listen in next time for episode 100 of their show. It's comedically more than 100 for us. I don't want to talk about it. I'll see y'all later.
Bye.
Have a good night.